How many believe the Bible tonight?
Amen.
How many believe it with all your heart and with all your strength, all your might, that you want to live by the Word of God?
Amen.
Would you agree? Our only hope is in the Word of God.
Amen.
And if there's ever a time when we need the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, it's today. Now let me ask you this. Is the Word of God holy? Yes or no?
Yes.
Do you need the Holy Spirit to help to understand the Holy Word of God?
Yes.
Yes. Then we are His what kind of people? His holy people. Yes. We're in a holy place. We're holy people with the help of the Holy Spirit studying the holy word of God. Amen. How many want the whole truth and nothing but the truth tonight? And so don't miss my message tomorrow morning, which is Pastor's Prodigal. Go, comes home, and that's my message tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. I'll be sharing my personal testimony. I hope you will be there for that. Tomorrow night, Antichrist and History's Greatest Religious Cover-Up. Then we have one coming up, Hope Beyond the Grave, Death's Mystery Solved. Las Vegas is known for gambling. That's right, it's the gambling capital of the United States of America. And on one occasion, my family and I were had a layover in Las Vegas, and we came off of the ramp and into the airport terminal, and immediately we were confronted with, and this is a picture I took, confronted by slot machines. They're loud, they're colorful, and it'll cost you some money, and I'm not a gambler. I don't think the Bible endorses gambling, but I thought, yeah, well, why would I be interested in taking a picture of a slot machine? Notice, zoom in a little bit more. You see this trilogy anywhere and everywhere, whether there's a billboard or a magazine or TV advertisement, invariably 777 is used to promote gambling. Now, why not 666? Because everybody knows, man, you want to lose all your money. But it occurred to me that what people are doing is they're like, I know I shouldn't be gambling, but Lord, maybe I can use your numbers real good. You know, first of all, God doesn't want to take His name in vain, nor does He want us to take His numbers in vain. Gambling is not endorsed in the Bible. Well, the Bible is a book of numbers. There's even a book by the name of Numbers. That's right. And so let's just do a flyover. 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine there during the days of Joseph. Then there would be unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, Exodus 31 and verse 6, about the children of Israel. Then, remember the Battle of Jericho, strange battle orders. The walls would come down only after there would be seven priests blowing seven trumpets and encompass the city seven times, and on the seventh day encompass it seven times. Wow, that's a lot of sevens. I think God is trying to present the truth here. Remember Naaman. Remember, he was a leader, and he had a problem. He had a problem, but can anyone tell me? He had the problem of leprosy. And Elisha got word to him that he must go and wash in the Jordan. How many times?
Seven times.
Six times dipping down, submerging himself. Didn't do it. Had to be seven times. And then I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who were thrown into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't bow down to the golden image. Remember, the head of gold represents Babylon. Well, there in Daniel chapter 2, well, Daniel chapter 3, instead, now you have the whole image is of gold. And so the furnace was heated how many times?
Seven
times hotter. Then during the days of Noah, there were seven pairs of clean animals that entered the ark. And so moving along, so that seven pairs of clean animals. 7 days after Noah entered the ark, then the rain began. And that's right there in the Bible. Then 7 days after the raven, Noah sent forth a what?
A dove.
He sent forth a dove. Then during the days of Elijah, seven times Elijah prayed for rain on Mount Carmel, and it came down. Then I think of King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 4. 7 years Nebuchadnezzar lived as a beast. And that must have been quite a spectacle. And so then Jesus, seven times Jesus spoke from the cross of Calvary. I don't think that's a coincidence. And then when we go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 1, we see Jesus is walking amidst seven candlesticks. And in his right hand, there are seven stars representing the seven churches. And then you have in Revelation chapter 5, you have this beast, this lamb as it was slain, and it had seven eyes. God has perfect vision, that is, he sees everything. Seven horns, God has perfect power. Seven spirits, God is ever present. And seven seals, the lamb has authority. So there you have it. You have Jesus has perfect understanding, sees everything. Jesus has perfect love. Jesus is with us through his Spirit. In Psalms 139, it says that there's nowhere you can go where Jesus is not, because he is omnipresent. And seven spirits. So then seven seals, Jesus has the authority. Now what's very beautiful is that the person that has perfect power, perfect presence, perfect salvation, Jesus died to prove his what kind of love? Perfect love. Amen. And so then you have seven trumpets of Revelation, that's there in Revelation 8 and 9 and so forth. Seven plagues in Revelation 15 and 16. Seven thunders, Revelation 10. Seven-headed beast in Revelation chapter 13, seven heads. Then the number seven, therefore, and we could go into more examples, but number seven is associated with miracles, okay? It denotes completion and perfection, and it also is a test of faith. God doesn't waste that number seven. I repeat, miracles at the seventh point, completion and perfection at number seven. Test of faith. The furnace was heated what? Seven times. King Naaman needed to, captain of the Syrian army, he needed to dip how many times for his miracle? Seven times. So seven is associated with miracles. Remember the priests encircling the city of Jericho? And after the seven, 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 then the city, the walls came tumbling down. Well, the first seven is in creation. The first seven, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many believe in creation by a master designer, not by accident? We didn't evolve, we were created. And so God told Adam and Eve to rest together with their creator on the seventh day. That's right. Let's look it up in Genesis chapter 2. First book in the Bible, Genesis 2, 1 to 3. We're going to look at a lot of scripture tonight and see how God uses the number seven associated with the Bible Sabbath. In Genesis chapter 2, 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. By what day? The seventh day Sabbath. It was finished. The seventh day is all about completion. Miracles. Was creation a bunch of miracles? You better believe it. Every day was a miracle. Then on the seventh day, there was rest. And on the seventh day, that's the first time you're seeing seven in the Bible. The seventh day, God ended his work which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his works which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, that is, made it holy, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Is it clear, therefore, that God did three things exclusively to the seventh day? Number one, he blessed that day. Every day is a blessing, but only one is the Sabbath blessing. He rested on that day. Sometimes people will say, well, I keep every day holy. No, you don't. Because to keep the day holy, you don't work on that day. And most of us have to work for a living. And so the seventh day is holy. Some things are still holy. We are his holy people in a holy place. And during this Bible study of God's holy word, and God has his holy Sabbath. And so notice he rested on that day, not because he was tired, but to set forth an example to follow. He rested and he made it holy. Can you make a day holy? No. God made a day holy. And it's not up for grabs. It's not up for guesswork. It's not up for speculation. The seventh day is the Sabbath. Look on a calendar. Saturday is the seventh day of the week. In Spanish, what do you call the seventh day? Sábado. And so the Sabbath means that Shabbat in the Hebrew, it means rest. And so the Bible makes it very clear. He blessed that day, he rested on that day, and he made it holy. Now take your Bible and turn to the Ten Commandments. This is actually in the Ten Commandments. All right? We're looking at Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. God wrote the Ten Commandments, and he spoke the Ten Commandments. Remember that the whole place shook? So notice here, Mount Sinai, this is what God said with his own voice. Chapter 20, verse 8 of Exodus. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. How do you keep it holy? God tells us. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of a denomination. Is that what it says? No, it's for everybody. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Jew. No. Come on, correct me, everybody. No. Is that what you read?
No.
Remember, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. So it's the Lord's day. In it, you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your manservant. In it, you shall do no work. What if your boss requires it? Our ultimate boss is God. Amen? So notice, in it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made. What's another word for made?
Created.
The Lord created the heaven and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Can you see that this draws our attention back to creation? So God gave the Sabbath right there, long time before there was a Jew. The Sabbath is given for everybody, from Adam and Eve right on down. It's for everybody, right? And this is long time before there was a Jew. And then God gave the Ten Commandments to his people to keep the Sabbath. So it was a repeat of what we saw in Genesis 2. Three things. God blessed the day, he rested on it, and he made it holy. So the Sabbath is a day of worship. From sundown Friday night, which is very soon, to sundown Saturday night. Because the Sabbath is a 24-hour period. Now go with me to Isaiah. Go with me to Isaiah. How many want the whole truth and nothing but the truth about the seventh day Sabbath? Okay, so let's look now. Let's look now at Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, all righty, 22 and 23. Question, will we keep the Sabbath in heaven and in the earth made new? Yes or no? Yes, let's see it validated. Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to, what's the day for? Worship before me, says the Lord. Well, if we're going to keep the Sabbath in heaven, it hasn't been done away with. We're going to keep it through all eternity. Ultimately, the meek shall inherit the earth, Jesus said in Matthew 5:5. The meek shall inherit the earth. So the Bible makes it very clear, when God creates a new heaven and a new earth, what's he going to have? The Sabbath. What's it for? Coming together to worship the Creator. Now, we're going to be worshiping God every single day, but only one day is exclusively for worshiping God. Now, this is not Mark Fox's opinion. This isn't just some theological theory. This is the Ten Commandments. How many fingers do you have last time you checked? How many toes do you have? God has Ten Commandments, and it's not a coincidence that you have 10 fingers and there are 10 commandments. 10 toes. You know, it's interesting. In other words, wherever you go, whatever you do, whether you shake somebody's hand, you're reminded, obey the Ten Commandments, don't lie. Then, when you're walking, what goes first? Your feet and your hands. That's right, because you don't walk like this, right? Right? So what follows? Your feet and your hands lead the way. So wherever we go, whatever we do, we want to honor God and keep His commandments. Amen? Let's go to Ecclesiastes now. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, okay? Chapter 12. And we want to look there at verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. So God wants us to remember His Ten Commandments. Now go with me to the dynamic book of Revelation, Revelation 14. All right, Revelation chapter 14. Here we have the three angels' messages. These are urgent messages that are to go around the world before Jesus comes again. It's part of the everlasting gospel. Revelation 14, verse 6. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell in there, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him. Did we just read about fearing God? Keep His commandments. And it says here, for the hour of His judgment has come. We had a whole message devoted to explaining about how we're living in the judgment hour. And notice, and zoom in on this part, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. You know what you just read? What you read there is that in the last days, a message to be preached around the world is a call to coming back to the true day of worship, the seventh day Sabbath. So the Bible makes it very clear, worship the Creator. Out of the Ten Commandments, which one talks about worshiping the Creator? The fourth commandment about the seventh day Sabbath. So this is powerful. This is good news that God wants us to take a whole day with Him. That is the best day of the week, I can testify. As I've been a Sabbath keeper almost all my life, I can testify that the Sabbath is indeed the best day of the week. All days I follow Jesus, but on this day is a special day to just reflect about God's love and His goodness and His kindness. Come on now, we're going to keep it in heaven. We may as well begin now. It has not been done away with. And it has not been changed. How many would like to get rid of one of your fingers tonight? God is not going to give up one of His Ten Commandments. How many agree there's still Ten Commandments? And He didn't footnote it at the bottom, subject to change, did He? No, He didn't do that. So I want you to notice here in verse number 12, the Bible describes those who are preaching these messages around the world. They're going to preach the Sabbath. And it says in verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep some of the commandments of God. Is that what it says? Here are those who keep. How many are there? Keep 10 of the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So the Bible makes it very clear that God is going to have a people that are uplifting all of the 10 commandments. They don't do this to earn salvation because salvation is a free gift. But they do it because it's the fruit of love. Would you agree? Without love, you don't have true faith. Would you agree if you have the faith of Jesus, that means you love Jesus. You want to follow Jesus because you love Him. The reason we keep the Sabbath is because we love the Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus Christ. Take your Bible now and turn to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. Looking there Verse 27, Mark 2, 27 and 28. This is Jesus speaking. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for the Jew. Is that what it says?
No.
The Sabbath was made for who, everybody?
For man.
That is for everybody, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man. Who's the Son of Man? That's right, Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is also Lord of what day, everybody? So the Sabbath belongs to who, everybody? The Lord Jesus. It's the Lord's day. Take your Bible and turn with me now to Book of Revelation again. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Are we learning something already? Look at here at now at Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10. I was in the Spirit on the what day? Lord's Day. Revelation 1:10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. So the Lord's Day is still holy. It hasn't been changed. Now take your Bible and turn with me to Revelation 12, where God describes his people in the last days, again describing them. Revelation 12:17. Revelation 12:17. And the dragon, who's the dragon? That's right, the devil, was enraged with the woman. Who's the woman?
Church.
And he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. In the King James Version, it says remnant. So here's the remnant, that is the last part of the church, who keep the, what? There it is again, keep the what? The commandments of God. Do you see that? So notice here, keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So this is powerful. Do you see this? God identifies who's going to be preaching the truth in the last days. They're going to uplift all of the commandments of God. Every one of them, all 10. And the 10 commandments are not complicated. They're very, very simple. A child can understand the 10 commandments. Is that true? True statement? Yes. It's readily understood. There's nothing complicated about thou shalt not commit adultery, is there? Or how about thou shalt not bear false witness? So there's nothing complicated about that, right, everybody? Nothing complicated about that. So let's just keep going. Now look at Revelation 22. Revelation 22. And looking there at verse 14. All right? Revelation chapter 22. And looking there at verse 14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. So what is that saying? Three times we read this. Three times it says that God will have a people in the last days that uplift all 10 of the commandments. Do you see that there? Revelation 14:12 about the three angels' messages. Keep the commandments of God. Revelation 12:17, keep the commandments of God. Revelation 22:14, keep the commandments of God. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then it says in 1 John chapter 1, go to 1 John chapter 1, that's just before the book of Revelation. 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. This is 1 John 2, verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Is it very clear that God wants us to uplift all the commandments of God? If we say we love the Lord, then we want to uplift all of the commandments of God. Look at Romans. Let's go to the book of Romans now. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. What did Paul say about faith in the last days? Because Paul said in Ephesians 2, verse 8, he said, for by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. So works don't save us, but they reveal that we have true faith, right? And look now at Romans 3, verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. Is it clear that faith establishes the law of God? So if I say, if Mark Fox says here tonight, I've got faith, then there must be works. Remember what Jesus said? By this shall all men know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. John 13, verse 35. So in other words, Jesus said in John 15 that he wants us to bear much fruit. And so he says that if we're connected to him by faith, there'll be fruit. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For without me, you can do nothing. John 15, 1 to 8. So it's very clear in the Word of God that God wants us to uplift all of the commandments of God, including the seventh day Sabbath. Let's keep going. So when you begin to keep the day that is most blessed, you live a life more blessed. I don't know about you, but if God is leaving a blessing, I want to claim that blessing. I want that blessing. So this has to do with the favor of God. So I want you to think about that. Somebody says, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist. Well, that's we're in a free country. You can believe like that. But then I would tell the atheist, I would say, okay, you don't believe in God? Guess what? You're still stuck with the weekly cycle that came from God. Because our whole civilization from one corner of this globe or the other revolves around a weekly cycle. So that in over 140 languages, the name for the seventh day of the week translated into English is Sabbath. So linguistically, we know that it's easy to figure out what day is the Sabbath day. Just look at, like I say in Spanish, the seventh day of the week, Sábado. So our weekly cycle has never been changed. So nobody can say, well, you can't figure out what day it is. Sure you can, a weekly cycle. And besides, do you think Jesus was a Jew and he kept the day that the Jews kept as well? And that's the day the Jews continue to keep. The problem is, keeping the Sabbath doesn't make you saved. So if it did, then the Jews would all be saved. You must accept the Lord of the Sabbath. Amen? Jesus is Lord. So if I say, well, I'm going to keep the Sabbath, is he Lord of your life? Well, not quite. No, Jesus must be your Lord, and then you want to keep the Lord's day. It's a test. It's a test. It's a test. God uses the Ten Commandments to test us. I'll prove it to you. Go back to the Ten Commandments again. Let's go to Exodus 20. Remember, we want to make this so simple. It's not complicated. What's complicated are emotional attachments and emotions and feelings get into this. And so that's where we get a little confused. But it's very plain in the Bible. Exodus chapter 20. And after God gave the Ten Commandments, listen to what he said. The Ten Commandments, and then in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 20. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. So Moses said, oh yeah, the mountain is shaking and quaking. It's because God is testing to see if you will obey his commandments. So the commandments are a test. Because anybody can say whatever. But the evidence that we love God is we are obedient to his Ten Commandments. Now, wait a minute. We don't keep the Ten Commandments in our own strength. We can't. We're all sinners. You can say, no, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments. Not in your heart fully. Because the commandments of God demand a miracle for fallen man. So when God says he made the Sabbath day holy, we can't keep it holy unless the Lord is making us holy. But he does do that. The Sabbath is a sign that he's making us holy. Is God working in your heart? Yes or no? Yes, he's working in our heart. And the Sabbath is a reminder of his finished work of creation. So he worked 6 days and then rested the seventh day. And so let's keep going. So our weekly cycle came from the first week of the creation. God saved the best for last. Now I want you to think about that. God saved and what's the purpose of the weekly cycle? It's everything leads up to God's best. Everything leads up to God's best. After each day of creation, God said it was good. Our life revolves around the weekly cycle. Each day ascends, listen to this, each day ascends closer to the seventh day. Each day ascending to the best day of the week. So it's just like stairs. There's just a couple stairs and boom, we're on the stage. God has six steps and then the seventh step is the rest. So the purpose of the weekly cycle, would you agree? God has a weekly cycle for a reason. Is that true? Yes or no? Or did God just think, wonder what I want to do? No, God knew exactly what he wanted to do for mankind. He would have this cycle. Because let me ask you this. Could God have created everything in a split second? He could have just, did God have to take 6 days? No, he did that on purpose. And then he rested on the seventh day. Why? Because he wants our life to revolve around the seven-day weekly cycle. Isn't this beautiful? And so remember, number seven is a number of miracles. Do you know that Jesus risked his life to work miracles on the Sabbath? In other words, the Sabbath to Jesus was so important that he knew he would be persecuted for uplifting it. Thank God that Jesus uplifted the Sabbath. Now, he was accused of breaking the Sabbath because he worked miracles. And Jesus said, no, if you have an ox in a ditch on the Sabbath, you're going to get it out. How much more important it is to relieve suffering. And so we see that very clearly. So God never called any other day the Sabbath except the seventh day of the week. Now, here's a real key point. There's no purpose to the seven-day cycle unless we govern our lives in reference to the seventh day. Because if you say, there are all the days, they're just the same, then what you're saying is the weekly cycle has no meaning. You bankrupted it from any meaning. But if you realize, no, God is a God of anticipation and celebration. Anticipating that Sabbath, anticipating it, and then finally when it's there, celebration. That's right, celebration. Let's keep going. So every day is a blessing, but the seventh day is most blessed. Now, if you told me, Mark, it really doesn't matter what day you celebrate your anniversary on, tell that to my wife. No, March 22, 1987, that's when we got married in Grand Rapids, Michigan, by my dad, who was a pastor there at the church. And so March 22, when it comes around next year, it'll be number 37, right, sweetheart? No, I'm kidding. So you better remember your anniversary day, right? So God could have set up an anniversary. He could have done it just once a year. But God set this up every seventh day Sabbath. So who does it belong to? Listen to what Jesus says again. Read it together with me again. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. So if Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, then whose day is it? It's the Lord's day. Do you really want to know the truth about the Sabbath? Yes or no? Yes, I believe you do. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, Revelation 1 and verse 10. So in other words, the Lord's day is still holy. So, you can say, thank you, Jesus, that you want to spend time with me so much that you would put it within the Ten Commandments. Because if God was just say, you know, if you want, totally up to you, if you want to take a day and devote it to me, that's fine. Most people wouldn't do it. So God put it in the context of the Ten Commandments. And it's the only commandment that identifies who gave the Ten Commandments. You look at the Ten Commandments, there's just one commandment that says who gave the Ten Commandments, and that is the seventh-day Sabbath, a memorial of God's creation. So would you like to get your first love back? Have you ever backslid? Let me tell you something. The Sabbath is a good way to get a revival going in your life. And so why is the truth of the Sabbath more needed today in 2023? What is one of the greatest deceptions in the 21st century that has swept the world? It is the big lie that permeates public education in America and much of the world. It is taught as a matter of fact. But friends, evolution is totally contrary to the biblical account of creation. Where did we come from? No wonder this man had troubles. And so how many are thankful? You can go with the Bible. We can go with the Bible. So who is our creator? God who created all things through Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 3, verse 9. So in other words, the Sabbath is a weekly reminder of Jesus' power to create us. Revelation 4:11 says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." So is Jesus worthy of our worship? And one of the number one reasons we worship him is because he's our creator. But not only that, he's our redeemer. And by the way, Jesus, when Jesus died on the cross, what day was it? It was the sixth day of the week, the preparation day. What did Jesus do on that Sabbath? He rested in the tomb. Was that just a coincidence? No. Even in his death, he honored the seventh-day Sabbath. So that every seventh-day Sabbath is a reminder he paid the price for you and he rested from his work of redemption. So in other words, creation, sixth-day finished the work, rested on the seventh-day. Jesus finished his work on the cross of Calvary when he said, "It is finished," and then he rested in the tomb on the seventh-day. My friends, that is truth in the last days. And so why did God create you in the first place? I'll tell you why. The Father himself loves you. Would you agree? God created you to love you. Look to your neighbor and say, "That's the truth." God created you because he wanted to love you. You say, "Well, Mark, then why am I going through so much? Why did God allow this? Why did God allow that?" I don't have all the answers. But we must have faith. And God gave us 66 books with thousands and thousands of Bible verses that help us to have a foundation for our faith. But it doesn't mean that we understand everything that happens in our life, but rather we understand the big picture. We understand that we're not home yet. We're just passing through, and that this world is a laser house of sin. But God's going to have a faithful few who will remain faithful to him and say, "Lord, I don't fully understand everything, but I understand enough that you died for our sins. You're coming again for me. I will trust in you as my Lord and Savior." So what is Jesus saying to you? Whatever you read in the Bible, that's what he's saying to you. This is not complicated. It's not rocket science. It's very basic, and that is, Jesus, when he gave the Ten Commandments, he wrote them and he spoke them. God spoke to us, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." But that commandment has come under serious attack down through the ages, down through the centuries. All sorts of arguments are raised and objections raised about one of the Ten Commandments that is so simple. And you say, "Well, Mark, why are you emphasizing the Sabbath so much tonight?" Well, think of it this way. You get up in the middle of the night, you get to go to the bathroom or go to the refrigerator, whatever. You're up for some reason, and you don't turn on a light because you don't want to wake up anybody. So you try to make it, and then all of a sudden you stub your toe on the edge of the bed. How many have ever stubbed your toe? Can I see your hands? See, the toes are always getting in the way. Well, if you stub one of your toes, which one would you be focusing on all night? You might even have to go to the care now or whatever. Point is, the one that may be broken, and boy, would that hurt. Everybody say, "Ouch." That would get your attention because you just broke it or sprained it or hurt it, whatever. That would get the focus. The reason why I'm focusing on this one is because most don't understand this. They scan the Ten Commandments. All right. Wait a minute. What are the Ten Commandments? Love God with all your heart. Should we keep that? Second commandment, don't make images and bow down to them. Should we follow that? Third commandment, don't take his name in vain. We shouldn't be doing that. Fourth commandment about the Sabbath, let's skip that for now. And then you've got the sixth commandment about thou shalt not kill. I think that's still important. Seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. I think that's important. All of these commandments, all of them are important. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. All of these commandments Most people, hands down, don't have a problem with nine of them in terms of, doesn't mean they don't break them, but in terms of saying, yes, I can see that it's true, I can see it's relevant, I can see that it's the truth. But why the one that begins with the word remember? Because God knew that there would come a time when most would not be remembering it. So in the last days, a message that is preached, the first angel's message of the three angels' messages, the first message to be preached to every nation around the world is worship the Creator on the day of worship, the seventh-day Sabbath. Friends, this is the truth. So what urgent message is proclaimed all the world before Jesus comes again? Worship Him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is them, them. And who would preach this? Those who keep the commandments of God. So Revelation 14:7 that we read reminds us of the fourth commandment of Exodus chapter 20. So in other words, in the last days, there's going to be a call to coming back to basics, back to the foundation of time, back to the seventh-day Sabbath. It is the best day of the week. So worship Jesus, not only as Redeemer, but as Creator. God created everything through Jesus Christ. So, to a secularized, materialized, entertainment-saturated, information-overloaded generation, our Creator is calling us to worship Him more fully in these last days. So, which commandment is a reminder of God's creative day, our creative work of creation? Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Why did God say, remember, I repeat, God knew that most of mankind would forget to keep the seventh-day Sabbath. So we keep going. Are there 10 commandments for everyone? I think I've made my point clear, but just in case, here's a visual for you. 10 toes. 9 out of 10. Most agree with 9 of the 10 commandments. Now that's worth scratching your head about. Like, I know it's dangerous thinking, isn't it? Everybody say, I think we're seeing something here. I think we're seeing that something's wrong with the reasoning. Keep 9 of the 10 commandments. Doesn't even sound right. Well, friends, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is here tonight. And we're entering into right now sacred time. Take advantage of this time by seeking God's presence to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Seek His presence, and I guarantee you, I promise you, keep one Sabbath holy, and you'll never, ever be the same. Never be the same. As you experience this, you know, on our YouTube channel called Amazing Prophecies, I am amazed of how people are open to the Sabbath. I cannot tell you the thousands and thousands of texts and emails and phone calls that we have received of people from all different denominations or no denomination that are open to the truth of the seventh-day Sabbath. It's thrilling. I got chills. It's thrilling because this is God. This is a miracle of God. Yes, majority will not accept the truth of the Sabbath. They'll try to talk themselves out of it. But I say, why talk yourself out of a blessing? Well, it's legalistic. Is it legalistic for me to give a kiss to my wife? It's not legalistic at all. And it's not legalistic to say I'm going to take the whole day and relax. Go to church. Just enjoy this Sabbath. And so, but most think there's a 10% discount on the Ten Commandments. I don't think so. So I keep going here. So who gave us the seventh-day Sabbath? Colossians 1:16. It is Jesus. Jesus gave us the Sabbath. So when was the seventh day of Sabbath given? At creation. Isn't the Sabbath just for the Jews? No, it's for everybody. Who was the Sabbath made for? The Sabbath was made for man. So it's for everybody. So if you're thinking, oh, that's just an Old Testament thing, I'm reading the New Testament also. It's in the Old and in the New Testament of the Bible. Besides, the book of Revelation calls us back to worship the Sabbath. And it says, keep the commandments of God, keep the commandments of God, keep the commandments of God. Revelation chapter 14, 12. Revelation 12, 17. Revelation 22, verse 14. Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7 about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, just think, the Sabbath is a loving gift from God to you. It's a gift. It is for you. It's for your benefit. So isn't it just like the devil to try to talk you out of it? And you know how the devil will do that? By using Scripture. You see, the devil knows the Bible. He's got it memorized. All right? He's got it memorized. And when the devil tried to trick Jesus in the wilderness, he used Scripture. So you mean to tell me the devil, crafty, cunning, snide, dark devil, would come in as an angel of light, quoting or misquoting and misapplying Scripture. And Jesus saw what was the truth. And every single time Jesus overcame the devil's temptations, it was always, it is written, it is written, it is written. That's how you overcome. So it is with the Sabbath. When somebody's going to tempt you, no, don't believe that. No, don't give in to that. It is written. It is written. It is written. So, in the last days, it's not enough to say, I've got my Bible. You must have a correct interpretation of the Bible. Because I've heard the arguments over the years. We've preached to thousands of people and on the internet, YouTube, and so forth. I've heard all the arguments. And I'll tell you what. We'll offer you $5,000 if you can come up with one Bible verse that tells us to keep Sunday and don't keep the Sabbath. He said, but Mark, come on now. Jesus was resurrected on Sunday. I keep Sunday in honor of the resurrection. That sounds good, doesn't it? But Jesus never told you to do that. It is written. God's law will never change. The Sabbath is for all eternity. Amen. It's made for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's made for you. It's the best day of the week, but oh, how has it become so controversial? It's sad. Yeah, but Mark, didn't the early church get together on the first day of the week? They did. Matter of fact, Acts chapter 2 says they got together every day there at the very beginning, every day. But read Acts chapter 16, Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 18, and it makes it very, very clear. The custom was they went to church on the seventh day Sabbath. Matter of fact, let me show one of them to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Let's go into the New Testament there. Or, pardon me, Acts. Acts. Let's go to Acts 17. We're learning something? Acts 17, verse 2. Acts 17, verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom or as his habit was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Is it clear? Paul had a custom. He went to church on the Sabbath day. All right, that's chapter 17. Let's go to chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue or the church every Sabbath and persuaded both Jews and Gentiles and Greeks. So there we see Paul and the early church had a custom of getting together on the Sabbath day. And so it's very clear from the Scriptures about that. Let's keep going. So back to the screen we go. What are some of the benefits and blessings of the Sabbath? Well, rest. If there's ever a time when we need to have the Sabbath rest, it is now. How much do we need the Sabbath in the 21st century? We need it now more than ever. We need that oasis in time. And so, antidote for modern stress, both spouses work today. Most consider family time important, but many working more hours than in times past, excessive stress at work. And so, health symptoms caused by stress, approximately 47% of Americans have cited stresses as the reasoning behind their increased physical and emotional symptoms and illness. Fatigue, 51%. Irritability or anger, 50%. Feeling nervous, 45%. Lack of energy, 45%. Headache, 44%. Feel as if you could cry, 35%. Upset stomach, 34%. Muscle tension, 30%. Change in appetite, 23%. Teeth grinding, 17%. Change in sex drive, 15%. Feeling dizzy, 13%. Well, after reading that, that's enough to make you dizzy, huh? So we are stressed. And you know what? There's also an epidemic of depression. Our young people are depressed. People today are depressed. If there's ever a time when we need something to help our mental health, it's now. And the Sabbath is just what is needed to anchor close to God. And so when you love someone, the best thing you can give them is time. It's the best thing. So God wants our undivided attention, especially on the seventh day. So you can say, thank you, Jesus, that you want to spend time with me so much. I feel you, Jesus, drawing me to you. I feel closer to Jesus on the Sabbath than any other day. If you've experienced a Sabbath like that, say amen. 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 Is your marriage starving for time together? How about the Sabbath day? How can the Sabbath be a blessing to the whole family? The Sabbath is a time too. The Sabbath provides quality time for stop rushing around, slow down, catch your breath, lighten up, rest, relax, think, reflect, observe, enjoy, refresh, renewed, energized, inspired. It's all that and more. Light the candles perhaps at sundown Friday evening. Turn on some heavenly music, not rock and roll. Turn on some heavenly music or classical music. Gather the children together for a time of prayer and praise to God. Get out into God's beautiful nature and creation. Go to church on that day. You want to know what Jesus did on that day? Yes, he worked miracles on that day, but guess what his habit was? Go with me to Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Go there very quickly with me. Luke chapter 4. And we're going to look there at chapter 4. And verse 16. Luke 4, 16. Okay, everybody? So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. This is Luke 4, 16. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, does that sound like Paul, what Paul had? And as his custom was, or his habit or tradition, he went into the synagogue on the what day, everybody? Sabbath day, and stood up to read. So this is powerful. Jesus went to church on the Sabbath. Mark, why do you keep the Sabbath? Because Jesus did. Say what? Yeah, he's my example. Mark, what's another reason you keep the Sabbath? Because it's one of the Ten Commandments. Now you want to see something beautiful about the Ark of the Covenant? Look at Revelation. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb tonight. Jesus, thank you that you're with us. Thank you, Jesus, you're speaking through me. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name. Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. Revelation 11, 19, one of my favorite verses in the book of Revelation. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven. Revelation 11, verse 19. Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of his covenant was seen in his temple, and there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. Is it clear that in the last days, Jesus is there at the ark of the covenant? Amen. He's right there. What's in the ark of the covenant? Give you a clue. It's the ark that contains the what? The covenant. What is the covenant? The Ten Commandments. Now, the Bible makes it very clear that the new covenant is that he writes it in our heart. The old covenant was man saying, we'll do it. We'll obey you, God. And they tried to do it in their own strength, and they couldn't. And then God said, no, I'm going to give you a new covenant. I'm going to write it in your heart. That's a miracle. That's Hebrews 8 and verse 10. Hebrews 8, 10. Where he, and you'll see this in your handouts as well, Hebrews 8:10, he writes the law in our heart. Hallelujah. This is beautiful. Amen. This is beautiful. Look up. He said, Mark, I'm seeing chandeliers and I'm seeing a roof. I'm seeing some ceiling fans. No, 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 no. Look up. Oh, look up at the stars. No, no, no. Look further. Look at where Jesus is. Is Jesus in his temple? Is he? Yes. Not a trick question. Is there a temple in heaven? Yes or no?
Yes.
Who's in the temple?
Jesus.
Where? By the Ark of the Covenant. Where is that? The most holy place of the heavenly temple. So what's in that ark? The Ten Commandment Covenant. So friends, if Jesus is standing by his Ten Commandments, I'm going to stand with Jesus by his Ten Commandments.
Amen.
Furthermore, the Ark of the Covenant had a lid, and the top of it was known as the mercy seat. The word seat, or throne, in the Greek thronos, throne. So there you have the mercy seat. Now, why is it that there's a mercy seat above the Ten Commandments? Because we've all broken the Ten Commandments. We've broken the covenant. We have gone against God. We need mercy. But aren't you glad that mercy doesn't kick out the Ten Commandments from the Ark of the Covenant? The Ten Commandments are still there, but we have mercy that forgives us for breaking his Ten Commandments, but also the grace to obey him as he writes the law in our heart. How many agree? In a sense, our brain is the most holy place of the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
How many are thankful that the Holy Spirit works in your brain, speaking to you? Think about that. Right here tonight, Jesus is speaking to you. I want you to think about that. God Almighty, through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, is speaking to you and to me right now. So we could say, what is Jesus saying to you? He is saying something through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through his providential leading. Providential leading? Yes, God led you here tonight. God led you here tonight because he knew that you would be ready to hear this. So, I don't know, Mark. I don't know. I don't know about this. I don't know. Well, God knows. You might not know, but God knows. And God knew that he didn't make a mistake seeking to lead you here tonight. I repeat, God didn't make a mistake. He knew you would be ready for this truth. He knew you would be ready for this truth. Hallelujah. Before you came to Amazing Prophecies Prophecy Seminar, before you came, Jesus sent you. He prompted you. And you keep coming back. Because that's the Holy Spirit. So the Sabbath is the best day of the week. So will we keep the Sabbath in heaven, everybody? Yes or no? Yes, we will. We will keep the Sabbath in heaven. The Sabbath has not been changed. Prepare to keep the Sabbath in heaven by honoring it now. Can you say amen to that? So the Sabbath is the holy day of worship. Now let's go to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58. Thank God for beautiful music on the Sabbath day. We're going to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 13. Isaiah 58, verse 13 and 14. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, that is, not trampling on it, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure, my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hallelujah. Is it clear that God Almighty has spoken to you tonight? God is speaking to you. It's not complicated. It's simple, but it's beautiful. How many have experienced the Sabbath before you came tonight? Have you ever experienced the Sabbath? This might be new for some of you. And I would say this, enjoy the Sabbath. You're in it right now. What a wonderful way to begin the Sabbath than to begin in the Word of God. Remember, you leave these doors, you start talking to people, they're going to try to talk you out of the Sabbath. And all the response must be, it is written. It is written. It is written. You must stand by the Word of God. If you're going to let your loved ones or a boss talk you out of the Sabbath, what other commandments are you going to let them talk you out of? Oh, friends, let's look at one more scripture. This will be our last scripture. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I want you to turn to Ezekiel. I just thought of another scripture. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 20. I believe this should be our last scripture for tonight. Exodus 20. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 20, verse 12. Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. Moreover, I also gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me, that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Amen. I want you to now go to verse 20. Verse 20. Hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. I read it again here. I want you to see, hallow my Sabbaths, and they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. We have a little card that we want to place in everyone's hands. Do we have the ushers ready for that? Okay. We're going to place a simple card in your hand, if we need a few more deacons to help out with that, so to go quickly. Everybody will receive a little card. It's just a simple index card. And all I want you to do is just write down your name at the top. Just write your name right there at the top. And then go ahead and number 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'm going to ask you some questions based on what we've studied tonight. It's a card. Everybody just jot down your name at the top of the card. That's all you need to put in terms of your information. Just your name at the top. And then just write 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, and I've got 4 questions for you. It's a short little quiz. All right. I think almost everybody has one. And if you need a pen, just let the ushers know. All right. Anybody need a pen? Raise your hand if you need a pen. Okay, number one. If you believe that the seventh day is the Sabbath, just write there, yes. If you believe the seventh day is the Sabbath, just write yes. Number two, if you can see that Jesus went to church on the Sabbath, as his custom was, say yes. It's up to you, based on what you've heard. Number three, is it clear that the early apostles also had a custom of going to church on the Sabbath? Acts 17, Acts 18. If you can see that, put yes. If you can see that God identifies his people as keeping the commandments of God in the last days, if you can see that, just write a yes. And then I'll throw in one more bonus question. What is God's special number from Genesis to Revelation? What's a very significant number that God uses? Write down the number. So there you have it, everybody. That's a little quiz. And so I want you to just hold on to that card and you stick it in your Bible and let it be a little reminder that you were here the night the Sabbath was presented and it was clear. If tonight's message was clear, raise your hand. All right, let's stand for prayer, shall we? Let's have a word of prayer. Oh, my Father in heaven, I thank you so much that we've been able to explore the Bible from Genesis to Revelation about the beautiful Sabbath. I pray, dear Lord, that we would love you enough to honor the Sabbath. Help us to be here tomorrow morning and during our worship hour as I present my testimony in praise to Jesus. Oh, Lord, may we leave this place happy, joyful, holy. In Jesus' name, amen.